Next step, number 640, September 10th, 2020.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the next step with Father Vodskin. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vodskin's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Are you ready for some gender revealing? Yeah, we're going to reveal what is revealed at the gender revealing. How about that? Before we do that, let me get some things out of the way. It is so smoky over here. We are being sieged by fires on all sides of us. And I'm in the Pasadena studio. You're hearing some humming in the background because you are going to participate in some of the discomfort that we're having over here. You're going to have to hear that fan in the background. We're trying to keep the air circulating. We've got the doors closed, windows closed, but the air is seeping in and making it very difficult to breathe, scratchy throat, and all of that stuff. Yes, it is burning like crazy, right and left, and being exasperated by the heat that we're going through, especially the last few days. I know it. That's true. Reminds me of the old days when Ken had this horrible smoking habit, and we used to actually put him in a booth in the studio. It was so bad. Yes, but today it's really bad, seeping in. And so we're running the fan. We're running the fan overhead. And if you hear some little rumblings in the back, little mechanisms, machinery, it's not only the fan, because in the midst of this heat and in the midst of these fires, we're having concrete poured on the driveway outside. So it's like wild. Yeah, but you know what? We're family, aren't we? So we endure together, yes. So I'm just putting this out there so you kind of expect anything today. Voices may be a little bit raspy. We may have to take an extra breath or two, and you'll hear the machinery, the mechanisms of the fan, the cement mixers, whatever's around here. Anyway, I'm glad you're with us today. Gender revealing. And there's another word that's being thrown around these days. It's called apocalypse. Our dear friends up north in Northern California are enduring some horrible, horrible weather patterns as well. Air conditions. Now, today we had absolute red air quality warnings here in the Los Angeles area. In other words, do not go out. Do not go outside of your house because you can't breathe. And, you know, I tried this morning. Could not walk, could not ride. Had to go out for a small little errand. It was really, really horrible. Up north in Northern California, there was a blanket of like red smoke that has blotted out the sun. Yes, the choice of my words, blotting out the sun. You know where that's from, right? Yeah, there is a reason why I choose those words. It's biblical, yes. Ezekiel prophesizes. How about in Acts? Do you read that in Acts as well? In the book of Acts, it talks about, let's see if I could bring that up, and it says, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Aha! So there you go. The sun has been blotted out. The moon is blood red. I mean, you know, you can't even see the moon these days. It's so smoky over here. But all of these play into the imagery of what we call the apocalypse. Now, apocalypse is the final. I remember there was a movie several years ago, and I believe it had to do with Vietnam. It's been at least 40 years, I think, since it's come out. But anyway, the apocalypse is the final and complete destruction of the world. And it's described in the book of Revelation. So there are tons of people, tons of people. Yes, I'm using that word too, intentionally. There are people who are not worthy to be part of a number, like I'm not saying number, tons. In other words, they're just a bunch of mass. Because there's no thought in this, you know? There's no thought. Like, what does it profit you to think about these things? They're just a bunch of mass. So let's measure them in tons. Tons of people. Tons of people who are worried about the apocalypse and what's written in Revelation. And let me give you my interpretation of Revelation. This is what I see in Revelation, the book. And so... doing the greatest disservice to Christianity because they've forgotten everything else in Christianity about love, about compassion, about caring for one another, about bringing peace, being the vehicles of peace, worrying about a future time. Forget about what Jesus said. Do not worry about that. Your Father in heaven already knows your needs, knows what's going on. He's counted your... Forget about worrying about tomorrow. These people, no. That's Jesus talking. Who cares about what Jesus says? We know what we need to read. It's in the book of Revelation, and it points to an apocalypse. And so yesterday, there was a lot of people... throwing that word out, especially when you see pictures of San Francisco. Just do a simple Google search. Do San Francisco, put yesterday's date, 9/9/2020. Yeah, September 9, 2020. Take a look at some of the pictures. I mean, they are just some eerie scenes. You know, you'd see like in these movies that you'd be really scared of. You know, very eerie. Cloud systems that are right in front of you and they're all red, blotting out everything. And certainly, yeah, you know, we're scared from the movies and now people are thrown around the apocalypse. These are people that are basically have some intelligence too. I mean, when you think about Northern California, Silicon Valley, you think about the science and everything. I mean, do these people think that, you know, for the price of an airplane ticket, $49? Yeah, $49 Southwest. You can get in a plane and you could fly above the clouds. You could fly above the smoke. And guess what you're going to see up there? The sun. Isn't that like basic? Like, is it even necessary to talk about these scary things? The apocalypse, you know, these fires happen and now it's the end of the world. You want to talk about end of the world? Look at some of these countries where these are standard procedures for daily living. You remember stories coming out of India? What is it? 1.3 billion people? What is that? About four times the population of the United States. And they're talking about, I don't know about current, but I'll go back a few years where they were talking about the air quality. They were talking about the river quality, the ecological meltdown of that country. People living in this decay day in and day out. But we have this nice way of blaming somebody else, right? It's the apocalypse. It's God saying it's the end of the world. Okay, you want to believe that? Get into a plane and go up above the clouds. See what's going on over there. I mean, forget about even spending your $49 for an airplane ticket. Go on NASA's website, National Aeronautic and Space Administration. That is NASA. United States government, go up there and check out their site. They have images from satellites. Yeah, satellites that are above the atmosphere. They're floating around. They're taking pictures. And you can see where the smoke is coming. And you can see that there's places where there is no smoke coming. So let's get out of this idea about apocalypse, about end of the world. And let's start taking responsibility for this horrible situation that we have created. Yes, We need to start talking in those terms too. We create our destiny. We create the problems. When you look at the world, God gives you everything you need. He's giving you everything, okay? So on top of it, now we're sitting around and we're saying, oh, there's like smoke, there's fire. Why is God doing this, you know? Let me go back up. I started to talk to you about gender revelation. Yeah, gender revelation. There's a good there's a good subtitle for you, okay? Let's talk about that, okay? Because I think there's so much to be said in that. And I intentionally threw that out just to get you, to grab you, because I know people want to talk about these issues. I'm going to talk about it in a different way. Do you know why one of the fires here in Southern California, yes, one of the fires that has created this horrible smoke system that is causing this eerie atmosphere that we're breathing and living in. Do you know why one of these fires was lit, or how it got started? It's called the El Dorado Fire, and it has consumed over 2,500 acres as of this morning, as of the news this morning. 2,500 acres. On there is wildlife. On there is beautiful nature. On there are people, our homes, our property, every kind of thing you could imagine. And all of it destroyed because of this fire. Now, why? Why? Because God decided that, you know, well, these people are having too much fun down there. Let's wreak some havoc. Let's set the place on fire. You know, what is this bizarre? You know, when we stop taking responsibility, we want to start throwing it on somebody else. God's the perfect scapegoat, isn't he, right? Why did God do this? We keep asking. Do you know why it was started, the El Dorado Fire? It was a gender-revealing party. Yeah, gender-revealing party. And what they had is some fireworks, pyrotechnics. Now, I was familiar with gender revealing a few years ago when it became popular here down in the Southland. I had never heard of it. And a few people told me that there's Armenian families that are doing it. And being a priest here in the Southland, I wanted to know, what is this? So what they do is they get together with their family, with their close ones, with their loved ones, and they reveal the gender of the unborn child. Yes. So now we have the technology, obviously, for several years. We've had the technology, the ultrasounds, which reveal the gender pre-birth, so parents can know what to prepare for, I guess, you know. Not just a healthy child, but to know that they could prepare for a boy or a girl, you know. And I guess, you know, you could do whatever you want, you know. The God gives you that freedom. You want to find out. Personally, we, during our time, it was available for our last child, and we didn't want to know. I mean, it was just the excitement. There was an excitement. And I'm really happy that, you know, even in our family, kids, you know, it's fine not knowing. It's okay to just expect something that's coming from God, you know. It's like, this is our baby. It's going to be a boy or a girl. That's it. There's only two choices, you know. That's what you're going to get. You're going to figure it out in a few days, in a few months. You know, you're going to find out. But anyway, I understand. I completely understand. People want to know. So what happens is the couple will go for an ultrasound, and there's a designated person who gets to know. Maybe it's the mother, it's the father, maybe it's a third party, who gets to know what the gender of the child is. And then they have a party. Now, at this party, there's different ways of doing it. I've seen the one where they fill up a balloon with either pink paper or blue paper in it. And accordingly, they will somehow pop the balloon, and whatever falls out, that's the revelation. So everybody's sitting around, and we launch a little balloon, and, you know, beautiful blue comes out of it, and you go, yay, we're having a boy. Or, you know, you pop the balloon and pink comes out, and you go, yay, we're having a girl. Or if you're having twins, you know, you do the math, you do the figuring out. There's different ways of doing it. Well, I guess what happened in El Dorado, they said, well, we're going to do this right. We're not going to deal with balloons. We're going to let the world know. And so they hired a pyrotechnic company to launch, fireworks. And I would imagine that one set of fireworks is going to be blue, one set of fireworks is going to be pink, according to the traditional colors. And they said, okay, we are now going to reveal the child's gender by looking at the fireworks. Well, the fireworks, they had a mishap. The fireworks came down and they set a fire. Yeah, it was more than just a spectacular few moments of enjoyment. And now it's going on for, you know, 3 or 4 days. And it's taken over 2,500 acres. And they're at this moment, as of the time that I'm talking, Thursday morning, recording this, it was at zero containment. The resources, the people, the water, the damage, all of that because of a fireworks that went wrong, went awry. Now think about that for a moment, okay? Is there anything wrong with knowing the child's gender? I can't say it's wrong. Is it something I would do? No. It's not my particular, it's not my to my particular fancy or my liking. If today, with all the resources that we had, we have a baby, and there's an excitement of knowing what the baby. Now, that's my personal feeling. I don't really care to know. I just want to know that a baby's coming and the excitement of that baby. Now, there's other people who say, well, we want to decorate the room accordingly, according to a boy, according to a girl. There's other people who have other reasons for it, okay? I'm not here to put a judgment on that. What I'm talking about is let's realize that we are creating the issues. The gender revelation party that went awry and now caused this huge fire, which is making it difficult for us to breathe, which is causing the death. It's causing suffocation, causing lung damage in a lot of people. It was all because people wanted to know what the gender of the child was. And they said, well, money's no object. Let's hire a pyrotechnic company. And now when it's a fire and we start talking about apocalypse, the end of the world, people are now putting in their head that this is God's wrath playing out. And do not laugh at this. You are Next Step listeners. I want you to know that you've been on the ride with me. But there are people who look at it this way. This is God doing something to us. This is God's wrath upon us. And maybe even to go a next step and say, it's God because you're revealing what the gender of the child is. God doesn't want you. No, don't do that. I will tell you what you should do, though. What is necessary for us? Why are we at the point where we are dealing with things that really shouldn't be our business? And this came to me, back in San Jose, I'm going to share with you a story from about 35 years ago. There was a kind old lady. She was from Iran. We used to call her the spyglass lady. The spyglass lady. Well, forget about anything exotic. She was an old lady in my parish, and she had difficulty seeing. So she would sit in church, and instead of having nice glasses or anything, she actually had one of those spyglasses. Is that what they're called? They're basically like a telescope. Yeah, a telescope, which she hung on her neck and she would lift it up. So every week when I'd give the sermon, I'd see her. She was across from me in the church and she'd put this spyglass up to her eye and she'd look out at me. And we got to calling her the spyglass lady, just a wonderful lady who was come to church, and she compensated for her deficiency of being able to see with this cool-looking spyglass. It was really, really cool-looking, you know, because she'd have it dangling on her neck. Anyway, she contracted cancer, and I remember just before she passed, going to the family house, And we were talking about different things, about cancer and how she had managed to get through her life, and now cancer had taken over. And we were talking about different things. Why are we? Her son was in the electronic industry, one of the brilliant scientists that was working in that time's Silicon Valley. And we had an incredible discussion about the limits of science, about spirituality. And we got to a point where he said, I don't understand why we need to get into things that are really not necessary. And I said, what do you mean? He said, for instance, watermelons. Yeah, this is our conversation. What do you mean watermelons? He says, why do watermelons not have to have seeds? And it was, sure enough, it was right around that time that they were starting to harvest watermelons that were called seedless. And I always remember that to this day, every time I bite into a watermelon. Why do we have to have watermelons that don't have seeds? If you are as old as I am, if you fell off, you know, the dinosaur at one time, you do remember the old days where we'd eat a watermelon and you'd spit out the seeds. They were like these soft and slippery black seeds. You'd spit them out. Now we have watermelons that are seedless. I always think about the spyglass lady when I eat watermelon. Because I think, like, yeah, why do we need seedless watermelon? What's the problem here? I mean, how does that benefit our lives? What we get seeds stuck in our throat? Is that the things? There are people who just swallow the seeds and maybe they get... I don't know what the reason is, but they developed a seedless watermelon. And when you look at so much of the advancement of technology to make our lives better and easier, you start asking yourself, at what point are these things necessary and at what point are they just an invention to make more money? And this is a very, it's not a question that I'm asking, it's a rhetorical question, because there is no answer. I don't know how to answer that. I mean, when you think about every one of us now has a computer in our pocket. We have what's called a cell phone. And think about just 30 years ago. 30 years ago, where every family had one phone. Now everybody in the family has a phone themselves. Think about just 12 years ago when we had phones and they weren't smartphones. Just before the iPhone came out. Yeah, there were phones that were allowing you to do texting. Do you remember the old system of texting? You'd have to hit one of the numbers a few times to get a letter and everything. And then the iPhone came out and everything changed. And then smartphones came out. And our lives changed. We now have our computers. We have our social media. We are able, in fact, the president himself wakes up in the middle of the night and tweets people. President himself. You've got it in your hand, you could do it. And you question, how important is it? Well, in many senses, it is important. When you look at the Arab Spring a few years ago, look at what happened in the Middle East, the uprisings that took place. Look at it in Armenia with the Velvet Revolution, made so much possible because of social media and how social media was used. And then you look at some of the tragedies that are coming out of this, the inability for people to communicate. And we're seeing this especially here in the United States. I have never seen this climate that we have in the United States where we are now killing one another because of thought. Not because you're protecting yourself, but because you do not agree with me. And this is, to me, completely bizarre. It's completely non-American, because America, for me, has always been this place where we can have free thought. I mean, you want to talk about the technology. Think about this. You've been listening to me, some of you, for 12 years. This podcast is now in its 13th year. This was impossible before the advent of of social media that we have today. In other words, impossible in the sense that if I wanted to put out a broadcast, I would have to go and appeal to the networks. I'd have to get a radio station. I'd have to get a TV station. I'd have to go and schmooze some executives who would buy into me. I'd have to get advertisers. Now I've got a computer. I've got a microphone. I've got a few listeners who say, hey, we're going to support you, and we're sending in the donations, enough to buy the equipment, the web space, and, you know, basically on a shoestring, you're able to do a broadcast and you're able to get this message out. Yes, thank you, technology. Yes, thank you. I'm not here to tell you let's go backwards, but I'm telling you we need to start having an intelligent conversation, an intelligent thought, not just fueled by people just yelling and screaming at one another that, oh, you are stupid for thinking this way. No, these are legitimate concerns. Just as legitimate as when you look at overpopulation, when you look at concerns of our prison system, when you look at what's going on with the way we are dealing with epidemic and people not wanting to respond to vaccination. These are things that need to be discussed in a civilized manner. And today, I think this is the message I wanted to get out. I mean, there is a fire that is threatening us in so many ways. Not just the fire itself, but the quality of life that we're having, and it's all caused because somebody wanted to know the gender of their child. And do you understand what I'm saying? It's not God saying, oh, you wanted to know the gender of your child? Okay, I'm going to show you now. I'm going to burn down your world. No, it's for us to start thinking, at what point are we taking over God's domain? I mean, up until 20, 30, 40 years ago, you had a baby. And you know what? When the baby was born, the doctor would take out the baby and would say, congratulations, you have a baby. Now you fill in the blank. You have a baby boy. You have a baby girl. That's when you would know. That was the gender revelation. Yeah, this wasn't a long time ago. This was just 40 years ago, even less than that. 30 years ago. Congratulations, you have a baby girl. You have a baby boy. That's it. But we have to know. We have to know early. Just like 40 years ago, you'd bite into a watermelon and there'd be seeds in it. Now we don't have seeds in watermelon. Why? It's a question. I'm just throwing it out, okay? It's food for thought. No pun intended. But it's probably the perfect time to take a break right now, play the song of the day for you to digest some of this thought, what's being shared with you. Enjoy.
Zum Mertu Unsare
Shogerjan by Zulal. I thought we needed to hear something like this to clear out the mind, right? Zulal, the clarity. There's a lot going on, a lot to think about. Shogerjan is actually a Gomidas song written by Gomidas, and it's about the rays, you know, the shor, the rays that are coming down. And you know, it's interesting because we always think of it in a positive way. Shorer, it's a beautiful word, the rays. And today we're seeing rays that are destroying. Can we take that detrimental, those rays that are coming down, and by looking at it, by putting a twist to it, can we understand that it is a wake-up call in a sense, a wake-up call to our need to participate in what we're doing to this world rather than just letting it go and just letting the fires go, realizing that it is in our hands. Shogerjan, adapted to a name. Gomidas Vartabed writes about Shogerjan, and a beautiful name, usually for a woman though, right? Shoger, right? The rays. I'm saying that because in English, Ray is a masculine name. Hey, Ray. It's a man's name, yes, but in Armenian, Sholer, the rays, woman's name. In any case, I don't think Gomidas thought about, like, Sholer, the rays coming down, and heat, and ecology, our need to change it, but he gave us, certainly, something beautiful, which should stimulate our mind. I hope you enjoyed it. And we will have a link on today's show notes, not only to this song, but to all of the wonderful music that's put out by this exceptional talent called Zulal, put here on earth for clarity, for beauty. Do check it out. Where did the year go? It's already the last major feast day of the calendar year, known as the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. That's coming up this Sunday. And I thought I'd talk a little bit about the cross and its meaning today, 2020, because we always talk about this event, and so many well-intentioned clergy are out there talking about the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. And I saw it again this week. Got a few newsletters, and, you know, it's like, here's the history of it. And that, which is fine, yeah, we should know the history of it. It is an event that took place about the Exaltation, about Jerusalem, about all this. But it goes back to the early centuries, you know. And that's fine, learn the history, but do you make the bridge and the connection to today? Like, what's going on today, 2020? And when you think about this year, this is one of those years that's going to go down in history, as so many things happened. And I think that what we forget about is other years, too. A lot of things happen in other years, too. And it just depends on where you are and that spectrum of life experiences. And as you get older, you start noticing a lot more things that are happening because, well, also the body's given out too, right? So you start personalizing a lot of the stuff that's happening in the world. The cross, the Holy Cross. Let me talk a little bit about that because it's probably one of those misunderstood things. I think more and more in the last, I would say even longer than that, people are using the cross as an expression of who they are. I noticed that on a lot of stars, they'll be wearing crosses around their necks. And then there's the bling crosses too, which I am guilty of wearing too, because as a priest, we get to wear those bling crosses, those big ones, yeah, with a lot of ornamentation on them. And some of them are really ornamented, some of them are plain, and there's so many different ways of looking at the cross, right? The ornamentation. Let me ask you something. Would you ever think about putting a noose around your neck? No, not in that sense. I meant the way you wear a cross. Would you put a noose? How about a a small little icon of, say, an electric chair? How about a needle for lethal injection? Would you put that? Well, these are all the modern ways of capital punishment. And at the time of Jesus, the cross was a method of capital punishment. Yes, the worst of the worst. This is how you would eliminate them. The end would come. This is how they punished them, putting them up on a cross. And it's interesting to me because I think that people think, or have always thought, that the way the person died, not the method of punishment, but the method of death, was that you would be hanging and you would lose blood consciousness and that's how you would die. Actually, the entire ordeal of crucifixion was that you would suffocate up there, asphyxiation. You remember a few months ago, I made this point when we learned about George Floyd. The cause of his death was asphyxiation, right? I can't breathe. That's the mantra that came out of that. People were saying, I can't breathe, to remind us that that's how George Floyd died. And it is exactly the way that Jesus died. He could not breathe. That's what happens to you on a cross. You're hanging there from your hands, and every time you lift up your chest to take a breath, more breath comes out. And it's like a python, when a python strangles you, right? It's like taking that breath out of you. It's not the muscles of the python that do you in. It's taking the breath out of you. And that's what happens up during crucifixion. And so it's very interesting that we have taken this horrible, horrible method of dying, because today in America, we have, those of you who are listening from other places, I know that there's a variety of capital punishment methods, and I know some of you in some of more advanced states that you're living in have done away with capital punishment, but we have what's called, it has to be humane. In other words, you can't just go out there if somebody's committed as heinous a crime as it is, whatever that crime may be, as heinous as a crime, you can't go out there and inhumanely, isn't that interesting? We use that word, inhumane way of killing people. You can't go there and, for instance, start pulling out their fingernails and then, start drilling into them and just doing horrible things. No, you have to humanely end their life. And we have big discussions that go all the way up to the Supreme Court here in this country. For instance, a few years ago, when they had done away with the electric chair, they came up with lethal injection. The electric chair was took over, I think. Before that, there was hanging, the noose. There, before that, it was the firing squad. They'd put you out in front of somebody, and then to protect the person who hit you, they would get like maybe 10 people to fire at you. So nobody really knows whose bullet it was that killed you. So you don't have to live with that guilt the rest of your life. Interesting. Well, we have like systems of doing away with people's lives. That's who we are at in the year 2020. You know, we have different ways. We call ourselves developed, like we've matured, but we have incredible ways of dealing with people's death. And I think in that list of methods, I forgot gas chamber. That was it. Yeah, there was a... Okay, so I think between lethal injection, which it is today is the standard, and the electric chair, there was the gas chamber. They'd put you in a chamber and then gas you to death. But they talk about humane methods of dying, and they even go to court. For instance, right now, lethal injection. I'm talking about a story from just a couple years ago, when apparently one person they were going to kill in one of the states, capital punishment, he had done some heinous crime, and it was his time, and he had ran out of appeals, so they were going to kill him by lethal injection. They stopped it because the expiration date on the poison, yeah, they're going to inject you with poison, the expiration date on the poison had come and passed. Therefore, the poison was not... This is a true story. Yes, this happens in America. It would be inhumane to put expired poison into somebody who's going to die in just a few minutes, you know? So if that person is worthy of having poison that has not expired. And yeah, think about it. It really is bizarre. It really blows your mind when you go to it. But, you know, from time immortal, we've been talking about ways of doing away with people, you know, and the cross, when we get to the point of the cross, the veneration of the cross, the exaltation of the cross, you have to remember that it was an instrument of torture. It was an instrument of death. And yet we Christians, we wear that instrument of death around our neck. We adorn our bodies with crosses. Sometimes we get tattoos. If we buy a new car, we dangle a cross there. And you got to think this is an instrument of torture. But not so. And this is where I want to go with this. I think that change is what's important. When you talk about 2020 with all of the difficulties that we're having, the important thing is to look beyond it. Remember a few minutes ago, I talked about Shorer. You know, you can look at it as the rays coming down and the horrible rays that are affecting us, or you can look at it as the Shorer Jan, and it is this beautiful ray that is coming out at you. Can you find that glimmer of hope? And for us, as Christians, when you look at a cross, it's no longer that instrument of torture. You don't see it as that instrument of torture. And that's why in the Armenian church, you don't see crucifixes. Because it's over. It's not about the torture. It's about the victory. It's about that cross is victorious even over death. That death no longer has a sting, as St. Paul would say. Death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? You know, it's over. You don't need to fight it anymore. That cross, yes, is a symbol of victory. So in that sense, when we get to this feast day, which we celebrate on Sunday, it's the idea that you can look at the cross. You can elevate it. You can exalt it. You can look at it as truly a symbol of hope. In that victory, you have hope that despite all the difficulties, there is a goodness awaiting for you, just as despite the crucifixion, that there is the resurrection. You look at the crucifixion on Holy Friday, you would say, what a horrible system this is. This man came and all he did was he preached love, he preached goodness, and now look what it's gotten him. They've put him up on the cross. How horrible is this? There you go. Let's not do anything good because this is the payback. You end up dying and a horrible way, asphyxiation. Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. But it's not the way of looking at it. When you look at it through the lens of the resurrection, you say, okay, that happened, but look where we are right now. Today we are living, today we have come out of that grave. And it's not just about a positive thinking. It's not just about, hey, seeing the glass half full instead of half empty. Yeah, those are nice ways of dealing with life. Those are nice metaphors. But it's completely understanding that in every difficulty you've had in your life, that resurrection is what's pulled you out. Think about it in your life. Think about your life. See, we always do this. We always think about Jesus. We always think about this 2,000-year-old story without applying it to our lives. When you look at your life, yes, there have been difficult moments. And let me give you the truth of it. There's always going to be difficult moments. See, this is one of those things that happens. You live in that moment. So you think about 2020 as this horrible year. And every year has had its horror moments. Right? Maybe it's not accented because it's not on a global level. This year we got hit with a global pandemic as well, right? But think about what's coming out of all of this. What's coming out of it? Can you see some hope? I see that hope because at least we're now talking about the difficulties. We're now talking about that there's a system that's broken, and we need to fix it. And this is not something from above, but this is something that's in our hands. It is broken. I mean, we've got to get past this idea that it's wrong to criticize the government. It's wrong to criticize leadership. You appoint those leaders, and when they fall short of it, it's okay to criticize. It's not okay to destroy it, but it's okay. This is what the democracy gives you, the ability to get out there and vote and to change it. I have been very, very touched these last few days by, you know, I've been giving away my books, and you know, this is this is an open invitation. If you're interested in some books, let me know. But I've been giving away some books, and I just got rid of some very deep theological books that came to me from my seminary days, where I had studied Bonhoeffer, Karl Barth. And these were the heavy duties in Protestant theology during the 20th century. What was very interesting for me in Bonhoeffer's reading, Bonhoeffer was a German theologian during the time of the Nazis. And he was one who actually put his life out there. He said, I am a theologian. I am a person of God. I cannot accept the things that Adolf Hitler is doing. And he went to jail. He went to prison for that. And this is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, at what point do we put our faith on the line? It's okay that I go and light candles and wear a cross around my neck and I say that I believe in God. But at what point do I say, hey, there's something wrong with the system? And as a Christian, I cannot condone. This is not the Jesus that I follow. The Jesus that I follow is forgiving, is tolerant, is understanding, is somebody who cares about not some future event, but about the right here and now. This is really killing us right now, the way they've taken Christianity and made it about some future event, that in the future, I'm going to heaven and you're not. It's not about that. It's about how can we make it work right now. For this I came to the world, Jesus said, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to console the brokenhearted, to have compassion, to help, to serve. This is why I'm here. Not about to come here and tell you that, hey, in some future time you guys are going to hell or you guys are going to heaven. You know, it's like, leave that to God. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Leave it to God. And that's why in the Lord's Prayer, what do you pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Today. Today's the only thing you have for sure. Celebrate it. Do your best today. And so when we look at all of these instruments of torture, including the cross, you have to be able to look at the cross and realize it stands above the instruments of torture because it has been changed. And only Christ can do that. He can change that instrument of torture into an instrument or a symbol of victory, but not just a symbol for us as Christians, but a symbol to live in your life, to take it in your life and say, okay, I can see the victories in my life. As difficult as they may be, as difficult as the times may be, I know that I can get through it. I can get through it because God is with me. And where is that God? Where is that God? When you say, oh, God is with you, what do you mean? God is around you. Stop thinking somebody's going to come out of heaven. You know, there's a beautiful video that our dear friend Harry Hagopian from London sent me this week. And I'm going to put a link on the show notes. I wish it's actually in Arabic, but it does have English subtitles so you can watch it. It's a 6-minute little video. It's called Beirut, You Are Not Alone. And it is produced by the Middle East Council of Churches. I thank Harry for thinking of us and sending it, because it draws home this message that we have today, This is what it's about. At the end of the day, God is helping us. He's helping us by putting around those people. When you've made it through your life, it's because God has been with you through the people, through the help, the love that you've had all around you. That love, that expression of love, is the symbol of God living in our lives today. I want you to watch this video. It's called Beirut. You are not alone. That's the point. That's the point. That's what that cross is all about. It's that symbol of victory because God is with you. You're not alone. So I want to leave you with this, okay? I know I kind of like went a little bit deep. I got excited about it because as I'm doing it, I'm just thinking, you know, it all comes together. We're going to celebrate the victory of the cross this Sunday. Exaltation. It's very easy to look at it and say, oh, what a horrible life. It's very difficult to look at it with the eyes of a Christian and say, you know, as horrible as it is, there is a glimmer of hope because I know I'm not alone. I know I have that love. I know I have that friendship. I know I have that feeling of people being near me and sharing their goodness. And so when a bomb or an explosion happens in Beirut, I know that, yeah, it's horrible. It's a crucifixion, but there is a resurrection. When something goes wrong in my life, I know, yes, it may be cloudy, it may be red out sun, but I know that there are some rays that are going to be hitting me right now. And I know that if there is a crucifixion, I don't have to go down asphyxiated. I know that there is life beyond that. Let me leave you with those thoughts, okay, for today. Because I'm exhausted. And the piano player is here. So let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay, to close it up.
Susie here again, popping in to say thank you to you, our listeners. We are thankful for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. We are grateful to be able to touch so many lives and create lasting friendships. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world and look forward to your continued support. Thank you, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you to all of you, all of our listeners, for your kind support, your prayers, which really keep us going, keep us afloat during some very difficult times, and for your kind words. I really appreciate all the messages that you send me, whether they're by email or by text or on social media. Our email address is feedback@epostle.net, and I bring that up because Epostle is probably the way we're going to be going. We've been trying to transition out of where we're at as a ministry for the last several months, and I've shared bits and pieces of it with you, but the master plan is still in the works. It's not as easy as you might think. We have not only this 12 years of the Next Step, but we have about 30 years that I've produced before Epostle, that was back at the St. Andrew days. We have all those videos. We have the videos that were done during the late 90s and the early 2000s. So we're trying to put everything together, and it is really a quite cumbersome project. And as far as the In His Shoes ministry and the transition we're making right now, we just need your prayers. We need your support. We need you to be on board. And we can't thank you enough for being part of this by listening. It's the biggest thing that you can do, by listening and sharing this podcast. I'm surprised every week that we go by that, you know, somebody comes up and says, hey, we heard you here, we heard you there. And it's very humbling to know that our voice and this message is getting heard all throughout the world. Let's see, speaking of that, I'm not going too far, but this Sunday is the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, the major feast day. I am scheduled to lead a pilgrimage and actually to be up in the Yetem area, right on the outside of Fresno. And right now, I'm hoping to be there, but, you know, the way the wildfires are going, if for some reason, obviously, if the weather conditions and the smoke and the fire on the roads, if they don't permit us, obviously, I'm not there. But for right now, if you happen to be in the Central Valley of California, do join me in Yetem, California. Yes, that is an actual town name, an Armenian name. Here in the United States of America, Central Valley. I've shared with you some of the thoughts about that. We're doing some pilgrimages, and we'll continue. I'll get a little bit more in detail as time goes by. This is the second of three pilgrimages that we're doing there. That wraps it up for today. Invite you to connect with us on all the socials. And again, our email address is feedback@epostle.net. Sorry for all the banging and the clinging and the machine noises. If you heard any of it, sorry about that. We're just happy that you joined us. On behalf of the wonderful team who brought you today's show, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.